to Check It Out Comrade, an indie game podcast where every other week we bring you two indie games and tell you what we think is cool about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we are doing Nidhogg and Dust and Elysian Tale.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Let's just go ahead and get straight into Nidhogg. I don't think there's anything really relating these games. They're just two good games we wanted to talk about. So,
yeah. It's kind of nice that they're not related.
Yeah, we've done a couple of those themed episodes in a row here. So. So Nidhogg. Nidhogg is a side-scrolling fighting game, kind of tug-of-war-ish fighting game, made by a developer who goes by Messhoff, who I looked at some of his other stuff. He's not really well-known for anything else, but he kind of has a bunch of other small games. He's kind of like Cactus, the game maker developer, Cactus Squid, who did Hotline Miami? Where he just kind of has a bunch of games that are a lot of style over substance. But this is kind of his breakout game. And it was released in January 2014. And we were nicely gifted it by a fan.
Yeah, and that fan's name was Weston. Goes by Restless633. So thank you very much, Weston.
Yeah, thank you.
I really appreciate it.
And so, Gary, what's cool about Nidhogg?
What's cool about Nidhogg? I would say kind of two things. Is one, it is a fighting game and it is really elegantly simple.
Yeah.
So when I think about fighting, I know you're a bigger fan of the genre than I am. Mm-hmm. Like I like the genre, but you're kind of a fighting game aficionado. I feel like kind of the words that immediately come to entry or to mind are barrier to entry and just kind of complexity.
Oh, yeah.
Memorizing
sure.
really complicated combos, and you have all these different characters and you learn their movesets, which can be really neat. But there's also something very refreshing about something that is really, really simple to pick up, but has a lot of nuance, and where everyone has kind of the same verb set.
Yeah.
So that's Nidhogg, and it also has a real nice kind of give and take play. So as opposed to a number of rounds, you know, a three of five or two of three kind of structure for winning, it kind of feels like there's always a chance to bring it back.
Yeah, it's this big like tug of war system, which works really well because you know it's a one hit kill system, so. I don't know. Did you play Dive Kick at all?
I haven't played Dive Kick. I know of it. I've watched gameplay and stuff of it.
This reminds me of Dive Kick, in that it's like very simple mechanics, but and Dive Kick is also one hit kill, but I think this one does it a lot better with its kind of tug of war system. It also has a much larger verb set. It's still just movement and two buttons, but the flexibility that it has within those limits is a lot more like fun and fast and really neat, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go into that a little bit. Is the way it controls in the system, because this is a fighting game, like for sure it's a fighting game.
Yeah,
it has all the sort of base makings of a fighting game, just really boiled down, super simple. So you have just movement and a jump button and an attack button, and you always start with a sword when you spawn. And so when you're close and when you do kind of just little bits of back and forth movements, it's fencing. You just have a level height of your sword, which way you're facing it, and you can try and get around the enemy's sword or try and disarm them by knocking your sword into theirs if they're at a different level than you are.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, it also has a dive kick, which is appropriate, and you can throw your sword, and if you're disarmed, you can still attempt to dive kick or fight empty-handed, which doesn't usually end up very good for you, but is a nice last resort if you can't get yourself into a sword.
Unless the other person doesn't have a sword.
Right, which then becomes a fist brawl, which is kind of fun too. But
yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of room for kind of frantic emergent gameplay that comes from it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of little mini situations where you get disarmed and you take higher ground, so it's easier for you to do a drop kick. And manage to disarm the other guy, and then, you know, you can kind of, or he tries to throw his sword at you and misses, and there's a lot of these kind of mini situations that are really intense and cool.
I think it really helps out too that it's like, if you drop a sword and the enemy sword is on the ground, or, you know, swords are just left behind when someone dies, you can roll into them and pick one back up. Everything's mm-hmm. really, you know, for a fencing game, which is like the main sort of fighting portion of it, there's a lot of real quick action that happens that makes it incredibly, like, quick and fast and fun.
Yeah, and you respawn very quickly either. So when we say tug of war, each player is trying to get to the other player's kind of home base, And you just have kind of a respawn timer. So after they kill you, you can respawn to, you know, to try to stop them. But there's a little bit of a time limit, so they get to gain a little bit of ground. And if they keep succeeding, they'll keep gaining ground. Whereas you gotta have to kind of fight back, and you're fighting over this middle area.
Yeah.
You know. And it's also, it helps that it's so fluid, like the animation.
Yeah, the animation's fantastic.
Yeah, and that goes with the graphics, which are really simple. You know, just super blocky pixels.
Yeah, it's for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, it is like the very fluidly animated, a lot of like stuff going on the screen. The backgrounds are super active, and the characters are animated really fluidly too, but it's done in a really low pixel art style.
Mm-hmm.
Like your character's all one color and everything is a flat piece of one color, but it's somehow extremely expressive even in that, mostly through the animations.
It's a really attractive game, and then you know, it kind of has that synesthesia bit where like the lights are flashing, everything's moving really fast, and it works really well with the soundtrack.
Yeah,
which is really good as well.
Which was done by Daedalus, by the way, who is the only other person credited in this game. He's sort of a indie music artist who doesn't. I don't know if he's done any other games previous to this. He's mostly just known for his electronic music, but. He mm-hmm. collaborated on this game and did the whole soundtrack. So,
yeah, and it fits really well.
It does, for sure.
Yep. There's a little bit of, so I mean, if you have to kind of pick it apart, like it does, you have four repeating stages to go through, and the stages add a lot. Like at first I thought they were just kind of different color palettes and songs, but having kind of different levels, and then they add in crumbling floors and you know, things that obscure your vision, it makes a big difference. So I would love to see a little bit more than just kind of the four.
Yeah.
You know, that seems a little bit, but it's also to contrast that the game is made to be endlessly replayable. I played it primarily against the computer,
right?
But in, you know, kind of couch, sitting on a couch or playing against a buddy, especially with kind of Skype on or Mumble where you can talk shit about each other,
right?
Would be a blast because it's so easy to get behind and then so easy to get ahead.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to do some couch fighting with my fighting game bros soon. It definitely will fit the suit, even though it's really boiled down from our usual games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me. Did you ever play Bushido Blade?
I played a little tiny bit of it.
It's
PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just another fighting game. It was the first fighting game that I know of that had one hit kills. And it wasn't exclusively one hit kills. You had to kind of set it up.
Right. Right.
But it was easy. You could die really quickly, and then there was a gameplay mode that. Wasn't necessarily a tug of war, but it was kind of a battle of attrition, you know, where you would lose and you'd respawn.
Oh, cool.
Set number of times. And everything would change, you know, state position. Like it was in a bigger battlefield. Like the stages were not kind of like a Street Fighter stage. They had multiple levels and
right.
everything, which is, it's a pretty cool game. Like,
that's neat.
I like Bushido Blade
a lot. Yeah, it has a real big, dedicated fan base still. People really wishing they'd make a new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would like that as well. This game is, it also is critically acclaimed as shit, so it's won tons of awards. The big thing was the kind of Indiecade 2013 Game Design Award,
right?
And the Independent Game Festival's Nuovo Award.
Yeah.
And just nominated for all kinds of things, all kinds of critical press. Rock Paper Shotgun gave it their first physical trophy that they've made.
Oh, really?
As kind of an award. Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it is just, it's real fun. And it's kind of, I love it, like, in terms, when you think of it, in terms of things like Super Hexagon, like this kind of new wave of games that strip away everything that is complicated about games and just becomes like about a kind of like a pure connection between you and a controller.
Right.
You know? And then they take the aesthetics and strip them down as well. Like, Hotline Miami is like that as well.
Right.
Where it really feeds on your instincts and just kind of that, you know, bright lights and good bumping music,
right,
kind
right,
of arcade feeling, which I really like. I think this game is great.
I agree.
So, and super fun.
Just a tiny bit on the title is, you know, Nidhogg, which comes from Norse mythology, is apparently the name of a serpent that sits, or dragon that sits at the bottom of the world tree and chews on the corpses of people who are guilty of murder or adultery. Or oath breaking. So it's kind of the Norse version of hell, and lines up with this game in that when you win, you kind of run past a cheering group of of onlookers and then get swallowed up by a dragon.
Yeah, big snake comes through as you jump off the cliff.
Yeah.
It's, you know, super fun. They also, I mean, you're doing tons of murder. Like, one of the things I love about it is that you can kind of get a quick glance at what side is winning based on how much blood there is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the people kind of just explode into a pool of blood that's the color of their character. And then they stick around. So you can kind of have this battlefield that you've been lacquering with blood over and over and kind of almost see this little story.
Yeah.
You know, of this person getting an advantage here and this person getting an advantage here. Just like really cool little design decisions like that kind of stack up.
Yeah, it's this game is, yeah, like you said, it's real, just real pure game design that is a cool concept that's been coming into the indie scene lately. So this does it very solidly with the fighting genre.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there's no story or anything like that. So
yep.
I don't know anything that talked about.
Right.
But I guess there is something that that ties these together, just kind of segueing. I didn't think about it.
Go
but these
it.
Are both games made by one guy.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect segue into Dust and Elysian Tale. Which, yeah, as Gary said, is created, well, at least art and programming is done by one guy, Dean Dodrill. And he created...
Sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it sounds like you're Dodrill, you know, you have a Modrill, and then it evolves into a Dodrill, and then becomes a Tridrill.
Exactly.
And it, yeah.
So. But yeah, he is a artist primarily. Apparently he worked on Jazz Jackrabbit 2, and went on to...
Ooh la la.
Yeah, right? But he was working independently on this animation film that he was calling Elysian Tale, and eventually decided he wanted to make a game in the same world, and spent 4 years creating Dust and Elysian Tale, which is a role-playing platformer. Actually, very
it's a Metroidvania.
Yeah, it's a Metroidvania for sure. It's very similar, I think, to Guacamelee, which was just I think the last episode. So, so it's another side-scrolling RPG element game that's really highly combo-based, which is, you know, we enjoyed a lot of Guacamelee, and this kind of has a lot of the same traits. So what did you like about Dust, Gary?
Yeah, I've kind of mixed feelings in general.
Yeah.
The things I liked about Dust, the art is really beautiful. You know, it's hard to kind of get over the fact that the characters are really furry and there's a lot of animu-ness. Like, you have a little... you know, a little flying cat with you, a wisecracking flying cat and stuff like that. But the indie, you know, it's kind of like painted looking art that kind of recalls, you know, like a Disney kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's very nice looking. You know, like very, very vibrant color palette, very fluid animations on the characters. As far as kind of visual information, it couldn't be more of a 180 from Nidhogg.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that. It's also, you know, it has the kinesthetics down of like being fun to play. So like when you hit things, it has a really satisfying sound effect and feel to it. And then when you're doing these combos, which, you know, true to its anime roots, sometimes become incomprehensible.
Yeah.
Like what's going on? Primarily through the, projectile attack. So your little, Finch or Fidget. The little annoying sidekick that you have with you can shoot fireballs for you, or just kind of energy balls. And you also can kind of swirl those around you. So you can really just kind of hold down the shoot swirls and or shoot fireballs and swirl buttons.
Yeah.
And really just make a bunch of projectiles hit the enemies, and just kind of becomes chaos.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really cool. It's very satisfying. But there's not, like, I had more fun when I was kind of doing one-on-one combat or smaller combats where I could see what I was doing, because there's a counter system and an actual combo system that's fun to do. But against hordes, which I spent most of my time with, I could kind of jump in and just, you know, not quite button mash, but kind of spam the projectile and get through them, you know, kill them without being hit.
Yeah, you kind of just go through a like set rotation of attacks that you've gathered by fighting these big groups, and just keep going, trying to make sure your meters don't run dry, because there is a little bit of a stamina meter on the spin attack and on Fidget's little projectiles, but it's very forgiving, so you just kind of keep going through these same cycles and watch your combo counter go up, which, I mean, I think that was fun enough in itself too. Like, I like taking on the hordes to watch my number get up in the hundreds and near 1,000 and all that, but
yeah Yeah, it is. I mean, like, anime is, you know, I've been thinking about and doing a lot of shows on anime.
Yeah.
It's partly about, like, big numbers, you know, like, that's a thing. You know, add a few zeros onto something that would be, you know, perfectly fine. Just kind of make it seem a little bit larger than life and bigger.
Right.
But, like, when I think about, like, kind of that combo meter thing, I think, like, I kind of contrast it with, and I like this game, I'm not trying to just take a shit on it,
right,
but a contrast, a combo meter, like the one in Guacamelee, or even, like, something like one of the Arkham games, where it's so, like, precise.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you get to, like, a 30 or 40 in Arkham, like, it's because you're doing really well. And here, it's, like, it's satisfying in just kind of an immediate feedback way, but it's not, it didn't feel very skill-based.
Yeah,
no, you know?
It's definitely not rewarding you for any real major skill when your number goes up.
Yeah, it is fun to see, and it is fun to take on these large groups of, like, really coolly, you know, neatly designed monsters, and, you know, and it also has a, I always like a, you know, a Metroidvania, or, like, not Metroidvania-esque, but kind of a, you know, skill point system, you know, so you're kind of choosing what you want to focus your character on, like offense or defense, and you can get individual skill, you know, kind of stats up and everything,
you know, I actually,
as you level up.
I actually think that the role-playing point upgrades didn't add a whole lot to this game, in my opinion.
I kept expecting me to find more of them. Like, it added, in the beginning, early game, it added for me because I just put points into offense.
Right.
So I was really good at clearing monsters, but I was super delicate. And I was like, okay, this is a choice. Like, this is a playstyle. I imagine I could do the opposite. But they also, I guess you're right, because they set in a speed governor for it. So your highest stat can only be 4 more than your lowest stat.
Yeah.
Which means kind of, you know, gives us mediocrity. Like, everything, you kind of have to be average. You can be a little bit better at something, but I was kind of hoping to be able to make kind of a glass cannon, or, you know, make a tank or what have you.
Right. It might also just be part of a, like, it has a good idea of what level you're going to be at, and just a little bit too accurately scales the enemies to that. Because
you
just never feel like you're getting, like, you're gaining these points, but it never feels like you're getting any better.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that's something I like in concept, but I do think they kind of biffed it. Like, I noticed a difference when I would put a point into strength initially, but I could also see those things flattening out as numbers get bigger.
Yeah, if you play it real, I mean, I did specialize a little bit too, but if you play it just real across the lines and just kind of upgrade everything along the same path, you'll just never feel like your stats meant anything throughout the whole game, I feel.
Yeah.
Which is not the case with other, you know, like, if you do that in Dark Souls, you're going to screw yourself, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything, I mean, obviously, everything, all games should be Dark Souls, like, you know, and it's going to be the thing I compare everything to.
Yeah.
And also, like, I mean, man, speaking of things that didn't add anything, like, I mean, we talked about this, but I'm so goddamn sick of crafting, like,
yep, the crafting
in this game is balls, like, and it's one of the worst expressions of the idea that I've seen. Like, you sometimes get a blueprint, and then you can go farm enemies for their 16 tails or whatever.
Yeah.
To make a thing, but I just kept constantly getting blueprints for things that were worse or the same thing they already had.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is functionally no different than you just dropping a piece of shitty equipment for me to sell, or just money.
And the crafting equipment, like, when you would have a blueprint, most of the time you just had the stuff you had, just because it's raining down from enemies, and you just have an inventory full of random bullshit that you can't use for anything else.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, yeah, it definitely didn't add anything.
Yeah, it was just kind of, like, there's a lot of kind of, like, those elements to the game. I also, and this is something that I kind of just realized as I was stopped playing it, is initially you start getting new powers and new abilities pretty quickly, but that really slowed down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting kind of a Metroidvania kind of thing. Like, it is that because there's, you know, kind of a world hub, and you do gain more powers that give you access to new areas, but I was expecting, you know, a more expanded list of things to do.
Yep.
Which that maybe they are going to dole out more of those, but it's not that long of a game. So I don't know.
Somewhere in the, I guess, 8 to 10 hour ballpark, and I got probably 5 to 6 hours into it, and it was definitely a long stretch of nothing new, coming as far as my verb set was. So,
yeah, which is a little disappointing. Like, that's the fun part of a Metroidvania or Castlevania,
right?
You know, is getting new stuff to do.
Yeah, in contrast to Guacamelee, which perfectly spread those out.
Yeah. Over a similarly lengthed, you know, experience.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. So the, yeah. So again, it's something like I like, I feel like, and it is really polished, you know, as far as the feel. So it does, you sit down and it is amazing. This came out of one dude.
Oh yeah. It's a feat in that regard, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It looks professional as hell. You know, and it would just, I imagine playing something like this on Super Nintendo and just adoring it,
yeah,
you know, I just think that because, we're spoiled for choice.
Right.
Now it's going to be hard for me to want to go back and finish it.
Yeah, I agree. And it's just like in really close contrast to games that do a lot of the same things and maybe a little bit better, that it's, it's a recommend for sure, but it's, there's better games of different aspects of it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Bundle it. Like, you know, if it's in a bundle or if it's on a good Steam sale,
yeah, for sure,
it's worth checking out for a couple hours to see. And if you love the aesthetic, especially if you have more tolerance, like if you're an anime fan and you like these kind of tropes, mm-hmm. like I think that you'll like it more.
Or if you're furry, which, speaking of that, so, I had this game right when the Steam trading cards rolled out. And one of the things you get for crafting a badge, you get an emoticon that you can use in Steam that only people who own it can make it display in other people's IM windows, which is kind of useless. And you also get a profile wallpaper, which is also kind of useless. And most of those profile wallpapers are on the, you know, people get them and put them on the Steam marketplace, and they get all the cent for it. Like, you put it up for 3 cents or whatever, and you get chump change for this wallpaper you got. But I got one of Fidget, the little furry assistant character who
has boobs and an implied vagina.
Oh yeah,
like it's not like we say it's a little flying cat, but it's also very anthropomorphized, and it is, you know.
And she's just as annoying as Navi. Like,
yeah, she's awful.
So I got a Fidget wallpaper, and I sold it for like $4 on the marketplace. So the furry fandom is okay with me now. Like, you guys gave me money for this crummy wallpaper I got.
Yep, you fantasize about crimes against nature. the cost for that is $4. You're good in our book. Steam Marketplace is nuts. I got it for some reason. I got a foil Deus Ex card when I recently replayed that and sold it for like $4.
Sweet.
I was like, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, weirdos. It works. Like, who, I did some kind of like. I feel like it's got to be some kind of like Russians are laundering money through them or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Well,
as to who's doing this.
Well, a mutual friend of you and me, Robert, is like all about his Steam profile number. His level is ridiculous. Like, he will buy up cards and stuff and craft badges to the end of days.
Huh.
It's just a like perfect little. It just hits his brain just right, and he loves it. So
yeah, he's in, and like he's susceptible to gamification.
Yes.
Of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love Robert. No disrespect to him.
No, like, Robert's a fantastic person.
Yeah,
just the quirk to his personality that there's got to be other people out there. So that's why Steam cards are something you can sell.
Yeah, it's Robert and the Russian mob. Like, those are the two. So we're gonna do a little bit of a spoiler space.
Yep.
To talk a little bit about Dust, but before that, we should do some admin things.
Yeah, sure. So iTunes rate and reviews, you know, they give us more visibility, get more people on here. So if you have a second to post a review about how you like our show or any comments you want to make, it's the perfect place to do it.
Yep. And then check us out on Facebook. We're, you know, facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Twitter handle, which is Comrade Podcast. So check out that stuff. You know, and if you like it, tell people that you like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're
always looking for more listeners, so.
Yeah, definitely check that out. And then if you have suggestions, you know, we record these in big batches. So we, you know, the one that we did a show this time that was a suggestion and a gift, but we also have kind of shows on the docket that people have just said, hey, why don't you try this?
Yeah.
So we're definitely open to that.
Yeah, anything you think we would like and want to put out to our audience, we're very willing to play anything that comes our way. So,
yep, indeed.
All right, so a little spoiler space here. If you haven't played the game, you probably want to end it after this little tune. If not, stick around and we'll talk a little bit about the storyline.
Yeah, Dust.
Yeah, so Dust. So, you know, it does have a storyline base to it. It's very tropey, incredibly tropey. But
there are moonbloods.
Yeah, there are moonbloods. Well, I mean, it starts off with Dust being an amnesiac, so like you can't get more video game tropey than that.
Yeah, it's pretty cliche. Yeah.
But so I don't know. Just a couple comments on the storyline. So essentially, you learn the main story is that you're chasing down this guy, General Gaius, who's basically genociding off everybody along the countryside, and you're kind of following his wake of destruction. And you get hints that you are somehow tied to his army. And neither of us beat the game, but I just wanted to bring to your attention and get some comments on the storyline. Apparently, what actually happens is you find out later that Ginger, kind of, I guess the love interest of the game, basically, who you meet somewhere in the middle of the game, you are the result of the, like, merger of Cassius, who is an assassin of Gaius's, like a huge famous assassin, and Jin, who's Ginger's brother. And they were merged together by some group because they are exact opposites. Cassius being pure evil and Jin being pure love. And the result was dust. So yeah, right?
Well, well, well. It's almost like it starts off sounding like a Metal Gear plot.
Right.
Like, you know, just kind of like, you know, you were a genetic experiment combining the good and bad genes of the genome.
Yeah.
You know, but man, that's...
I thought you'd like rough. That.
I would never... So I'll never find that out, even if I play through the rest of the game to play it, because the dialogue is really bad and boring.
Skip through it.
And there's so much of it. Like, I'm not that guy. Like, I don't skip through cutscenes. I don't skip through dialogue, but I do it for this fucking game.
Yeah.
Like, I have never hammered on a button faster. Like, if there's a mini game to, like, blow up a balloon in the Simpsons arcade game, like, I hammer on the dialogue to skip, or the hammer on the button to skip dialogue faster and dust. Like, and there's so much of it. Like, there's that little, like, yeah, there's that weird little, like, anime trope where the comic relief, you know, elf character or what have you, like, you know, is just, doing little, like, asides, like,
yeah,
kind of things. And the, everyone acts like they're not savvy enough to know that, like, when people do that in real life, you know, just leave him alone. He wants attention. Like, you know, don't give it to him. You know, he's just trying to get you to pay attention to him. But that kind of, like, anime cutesy, like, emoticon face thing. And there's just, like, there's these exchanges that are, like, 10 back and forths between Dust and Fidget.
It's bad.
You know, going through that. And it's never funny. It's supposed to be funny, but it's never funny.
The other stupid anime thing it does is that, like, dialogue box is just ellipses. Just dot, dot, dot.
Oh, yeah, there's tons of ellipses.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. One person can just monologue. And they can just pause, too. Like, it doesn't, like, it's a visual medium. Just have no dialogue screen on the screen for a moment.
Yeah.
And then have it come back. Like, there's so many cliches with that. Like, his talking sword that's, like, a wise man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it just, and the, everything he says is really bland. Like, everything is just very bland.
Yeah, you know, like, the dialogue is definitely not this guy's strong suit, which I'm really glad he made a game instead of an animated movie, because I would never, that would never cross my path. Like, it would just not rotate our circles in any way.
Yeah, it's just the, because I did all of the side quests in the first village, and none of the characters in the first village are interesting.
No.
None of the things you have to do for them, like, involve anything interesting. Like, it's literally, like, you know, somebody, I was doing laundry for this kind of jerk, and I left it down by the water. Can you go get it? Yeah, what are you talking about? Like, I don't do that. I played video games. Like, Fallout exists. Like, there's, you know, you can give me interesting things to do, and you can be an interesting character, but they're all so bad.
Yep.
You know, it's just incredible. You know, and that's the thing. Like, it's like, I liked playing it.
Yeah.
It was fun. It passed the time effortlessly. And I like Metroidvania as a genre, you know? But I had a really hard time getting attached
to
anything or giving any kind of shit.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
But just to leave on a good note, it is an incredible feat of art and development by one man.
I hope he goes on to do other stuff.
Yeah, me too. I'm just not a fan of his dialogue.
Yeah, he's a bad writer. is the problem with him, but he's an excellent artist and pretty decent game maker.
Commitment, like, actually, this doesn't need to be in the spoiler section, but, like, the PC port of it is way better than PC ports of any other XBLA game that's ever been. Like, there's so many options, and it's obviously, like, really well programmed. It's a PC game. There's no, it doesn't feel consoleized at all. Hi, Royce.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Where I just had to pop in on Dust.
All right.
And my non-anthropomorphic cat. And nobody should want to fuck.
All right. Well, that's it for us, guys. Thanks a lot for listening.
Yep. Join us next week.
See ya.
Or 2 weeks.
Yeah.